England's domination of Scotland had been broken. William Wallace had pointed the way and had suffered and died for it. Robert Bruce had carried on and had been successful. Leslie died in 1329. He was succeeded by his son, David II. But he was weak. And during his reign, Scotland was threatened by intrigue and decay from within. Now, David died without heirs, and so was succeeded in turn by his nephew Robert the Steward, son of Walter the Steward, a commander at Bannockburn who had married the Bruce's daughter, Marjorie. Now, this Robert II, was a good patriotic man, but he was quite elderly and not fully able to control the now fractious nobles. But nevertheless, with him began the long and ill-fated Stuart dynasty. He was followed by his son Robert III, and then came the Jameses, all of whom, generation after generation, succeeded as minors. Now, during the reigns from James I to James IV, Scotland was intent on becoming part of Europe. Europe, the civilized world. The first university was opened at St. Andrews in the year 1412. Then followed Glasgow University in 1451. Aberdeen University in 1495, and finally, the baby of them all, Edinburgh University in 1583. It's worth noting that by the time Scotland had four universities, four centres of culture and of learning, England only had two. This age also saw much founding and building of monasteries. The merchant classes arose, and the boroughs grew in power and number. A parliament was formed, a great step forward in the civilizing of a country. And this age also saw the flowering of a great deal of literary and artistic talent. Scotland, indeed, was becoming civilized. Now, when we come to James IV, it's worth pausing and considering him separately. For a start, he was a learned man and spoke several languages, including Gaelic and Scots, the two languages of his common subjects. He loved display and was a patron of the arts, and a great deal of artistic talent began to develop in Scotland at this time. He liked to show himself to his people, and he dispensed justice wisely and fairly. And what's more, he was seen to do so. Now, all of this made him a very popular king. He married the sister of the King of England, Henry VIII. James married Margaret Tudor, the marriage of the thistle and the rose. Now, as we might imagine, to have Henry VIII as brother-in-law wasn't always easy. Relations between James and Henry became somewhat strained. And when Henry went off to invade France, James incredibly launched his own invasion of England. The reasons are probably many, varied and complex, but certainly one of the major factors would have been the old alliance between Scotland and France, the alliance started by John Baliol and later ratified by treaty during the time of Robert Bruce. There was a saying in England, for example, that went, "He that will France win must with Scotland first begin." Anyway, James and the Scottish forces marched across the border into Northumberland and took up an impregnable position at a place called Flodden. Now, if his object was to create a situation where English troops would have to be withdrawn from France, then it was a failure. Because the Earl of Surrey, who had been left to guard England, came up northwards with his own men. He outmaneuvered James, got his forces between the Scots and the border, enticed them down out of their good position, and having done so, destroyed the Scottish army. And James was killed in the course of the action. So what Robert Bruce had gained at Bannockburn, James IV had recklessly thrown away. And so, with his country weakened by this humiliating defeat, James V succeeded to the throne, like all the other Jameses, as a minor. He was 1 year old. His mother was Margaret Tudor, his uncle Henry VIII. And as he grew up and began to approach manhood, there were two main powers seeking alliance with Scotland in marriage. They were, on the one hand, France, and on the other hand, England. So James V had two choices. He could either ally with the now almost totally Protestant England, and by so doing break with the Pope, and have to endure the possibly overwhelming friendship of his very unstable but still very powerful uncle, Henry VIII, or he could remain Catholic and ally with France. To do neither, to remain neutral, was no longer possible after Flodden. In the event, James chose France. He married the ailing daughter of the King of France, who on reaching Scotland promptly died. So James remarried fairly rapidly, also into France. This time he married Mary of Guise, sometimes called Mary of Lorraine. She was young, strong, in both mind and body, and was to make him a good, supportive queen. But during his comparatively short lifetime, there were still conflicts between Scotland and England, with various battles and border campaigns, and at the same time, dissent and disunity among his nobles. And James couldn't get the full support that he needed. At one stage, when he was just 31 years old, he was lying at the height of a full fever at Falkland Palace, when news reached him that his forces had just suffered a humiliating defeat by the English at a place called Solway Moss. It's said that he lost the will to live. It's a defeat that need not have taken place had he had unity among his Scottish lords. But that news, together with his fever, was sufficient to kill him. But just before he died, another piece of news arrived. And on his deathbed, he heard that his queen had just borne him a baby daughter. And so, as James V died, that daughter succeeded to the throne of Scotland, just 1 week old. And she, of course, was Mary, Queen of Scots. But more about her in the next episode.